Every day, the headlines scream louder. The truth gets twisted, and the darkness grows bolder. But I've got good news for you. We're not running from the darkness. We're confronting it. Buckle up, my friends. For the past 6 months, my team has been tirelessly working to bring you something brand new. It's a show that exposes deception. It reveals kingdom truth. A show that flips the narrative of the world completely upside down. Nothing off the table. No topics that are too wild, too dark, or too controversial. Because truth doesn't hide, and light does not back down. That's exactly what you're going to see this season on The Counter. So lean in, open up your heart, because this isn't just about entertainment. It's about a great prophetic movement. Alrighty then, here we go. Let's roll it.
Welcome to The Counter, where we decode the lies of modern day culture
using biblical truths, divine revelation,
and prophetic insights.
Pull up a seat to this prophetic powerhouse
where we expose the enemy's playbook.
We will counter fear.
We will counter deception.
We will counter woke ideology.
We will counter legalism.
We will counter the occult.
This is The Counter.
Joining me here today is my good friend, Pastor Darren Stott. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, man.
Joseph Z, it's so good to see you here.
Thanks for having me, Troy.
Pastor Allen.
Seated right next to a Nephilim myself.
Exactly. Wow. Speaking of Nephilim, we have NFL football player Brian Schwartz, who's on my team here. Brian, it's great to have you with us.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me.
One of the very first times that you and I ever had a conversation, you came around my house. Mm-hmm. You didn't know me. You went straight to my refrigerator and started eating.
That is truth.
The raccoon. I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, I'm not going to argue with this guy, you know? And so he comes in. But we stayed up all night long that night talking about the seed war, talking about Nephilim, talking about bloodlines, talking about what all that is. Do you remember that conversation?
I remember that because I was kind of dipping my toes in the water. When you start talking about this stuff, it can freak people out. So I was dipping my toes in the water.
See if I was cool?
I was. I was like, is he going to be able to go there? Are we going here?
Oh, I went there.
And by the end of the night, man, yeah, it was a lot of hours, and it was fun.
And then we went pheasant hunting the next day, and we blasted birds.
As one should.
As one should. So, Darren, I know that you're a guy that knows all about Nephilim.
I am an amateur. I'm a Nephilim amateur at this table. I mean, you guys are all experts here.
If I am seated here with Joseph Z and Alan Adio, I mean, and if we don't do an episode on Nephilim, man, we were not reading the room.
We missed an opportunity.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk this. Pastor Alan? Go.
This is something that you and I have conversed about, and part of that conversation that we had originally about this, where you were kind of pouring out the revelation that God gave you, inspired my book, Summoning the Demon, where I began to dive into this because I saw so many Christians diving too deep into conspiracy theories while you stayed firmly grounded on Scripture.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important thing to broach the subject with. How do you keep from the rabbit holes? We're going to dive into the different kind of Nephilim and the blood wars and all that stuff, but how do you stay firm on Scripture, because it's really easy to go down that rabbit hole.
Joseph, I know that, you know, like you, all of us, we all run around and we're all able to call Rick Renner our friend.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a big deal. And I mean, he is a Bible thumping dude. Come on.
Yeah.
He's like the ultimate Bible thumper.
I call him my friend, too.
So he doesn't know me. The answer is Rick Renner. That's the answer.
But
that's,
I mean, he talks about this, and I mean, are definitely a biblically based guy. I mean, you don't want to get outside of the Word of God.
Yeah.
But yet you talk about all this kind of madness just like Rick does. What's that all about?
Well, I got to say, it answers so many questions. That's the issue with Nephilim for me. Like when you start looking at Old Testament things, where it really troubled me. When I'd read the Old Testament, for example, and see God wipe out entire villages of women, children, animals. Yeah. And I thought, what is wrong with this picture? Yeah. But when you start getting into it, whether it's, you know, extra biblical texts that line up with Scripture, and it really has to. But I'll tell you, when you start looking at what that means, it means God was fighting for us when he was wiping those people.
Yes, he was.
He was fighting for humanity.
Wow.
That's what it was, because that was a Nephilim bloodline. You get all the way over into Lot and the angels walking.
Can I ask a quick question? Because people might not know what you're talking about, Joseph.
Yeah.
If the Lord hadn't saved humanity through Noah and his family in the ark, what would have happened?
Well, the bloodline would be polluted. You know, the first thing that happened is that the seed war began when the Lord prophesied against the devil saying, hey, you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head through the seed of the woman. That's not even biologically possible. The seed of the woman. So here we see the seed of the woman narrative happening. And what took place is the devil was trying to stop the bloodline from getting to Jesus. So he set landmines all throughout history, all throughout the blood of people. And because of that, God had to counteract it. He had to counteract it by standing up and starting to kill these things off. So the Nephilim are obviously that mixture of angels and women, and they begin to create it. Some people think they also could be a DNA, you know, tampering, not just sexually.
Oh, yeah.
But there was a DNA tampering, creating these monster people.
It's not even just exclusive to human beings. The Bible says all the earth was corrupted.
That's a good choice.
So whenever it starts off, you know, in Genesis 6, and it's talking about, you know, Noah, it says all the earth was corrupted, or all the earth's DNA had been contaminated. Wow. But he found one who was perfect in his generations.
Called Noah. Righteous.
Yes.
And most people interpret that as moral behavior, but in reality, his bloodline was pure.
Think about that.
All of earth polluted. There's this one family that the bloodline's not polluted.
It says the fish and the fowl and the plants and everything, that these had become Nephilim on their DNA level. And it says that during the days of Noah, and then it also says, and afterward, so even after the flood, there's another incursion in the spirit realm, another rebellion, and then another something happening between human beings and between these fallen angels or these little G gods once again, producing giants and also, too, producing God-king bloodlines in the midst of all of those different ites, right?
Yeah.
Including the Philistines.
Yeah. You asked the question, how do you not go down the rabbit hole too far?
Yeah.
My wife always brings me back. She's like, Brian, what does this have to do with the gospel?
Come on.
Yeah. Because if you look at Genesis 3, Genesis 6, Genesis 11, these are three cosmic rebellions.
Yeah.
And Jesus, when he died on the cross, was buried, raised again from the dead.
Come on.
He fulfills all of it, conquers all three rebellions. The rebellion in the garden was depravity. The rebellion in Genesis 6 was defilement. Humanity was defiled, and then Genesis 11 was division of the nations. And so you go back and look at Jesus, even on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit came, it was the reclaiming of the nations. It was the beginning to go back after the nations that had been disinherited. So it comes back to the gospel.
I'm thinking about like how the gospel is a great intervention, you know, and I'm thinking about Noah's Ark was an intervention to so that the true human species, image bearers, don't go extinct. And then you have the intervention at the Tower of Babel.
Yeah.
You have the intervention, Christ Jesus, our hope of glory. But then you have like the intervention of the church of Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yeah.
The ecclesia. Yeah.
Come on.
And we are kind of the watchdogs on the earth right now. We are the watchmen on the earth. And I think that's fascinating as far as tying it all into the gospel so that we can stay very good news focused.
Okay. So look, we all believe that the word of God is true. We also see this with the winds. With a biblical lens, we can actually see this thing, not only all the way through the Word of God, but we can actually see it in our own understanding of history, what happened before the flood, what happened after the flood, and what's happening and what's taking place right before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it has to do with the mixing of one seed and another seed. It's like, what are you talking about? Well, in the book of Daniel, the Bible says Nebuchadnezzar, he had him a dream, and he said he saw a head of gold, then he saw silver, and then he saw bronze, and then he gets down and he says, and he saw iron, and by the way, that was the Babylonians, it was the Medes, it was the Persians, it was the Greeks, and then it was the Romans, right? So these world empires, and then it says, but at the feet, I saw clay, and I saw iron mixed. And then this is what he says was, their seed shall mix with the seed of man.
Them.
And it's talking about right before the end time. And we see that Jesus himself has to come back to stop it. He saw a rock that was not hewn with man's hands come out of heaven, boom, and smash the feet. So Jesus himself, this seed war is such a big deal in these last days. That if it's transhuman, if it's transgender, it is actually transgression, that it is all about blasphemy before the Lord and getting us into a non-redeemable place where we can be claimed as the possession of the unholy instead of the possession of the one who holds us in his hand and none shall pluck us out.
Mm.
So let's unpack this just a little bit. Let's talk about this. What are you laughing at, Darren?
No, I'm having fun.
Okay.
Good.
Okay. So, Alan, let's me and you talk about this, okay? So, and you guys feel free to jump in however you are, however you want to. He, Brother Joseph Z mentioned it, that there's this enigma, like, hey, man, we serve a very good God, but then when it comes to, like, to the Amalekites, God Almighty tells, this very good God tells Saul, I want you to go in, and I want you to kill the men, the women, the children, and the animals.
Yeah.
And I want you to wipe them out. And Saul does not kill everybody. He keeps the king. He actually keeps the king, and he does that. And then he also keeps the flock or the herds. And we know that people like Josephus actually said when he saw how beautiful this Nephilim king was, he went, wow. And he actually goes in to write about him, which is a non-biblical book, I should say an extra-biblical book, where Josephus says that instead of killing the giants he had come across, he actually rounded them up.
Wow.
And Saul had his mighty men. David countered with his mighty men, right? And the whole epic battles of the mighty men.
Yeah.
But the reality was their seed, if they mixed with their seed, they would be contaminated and the Messiah would not be able to be born. So we go back, like, where does this come from? And I'd like us to, who are these angels? Are you telling me that there are angels that can reproduce with human beings? Are we actually saying that? And what we're saying is, yes.
Yeah, it seems that throughout biblical history and even throughout the history of humanity, there's a melding together. Sometimes it's biological, sometimes it's through technology. By the way, Nebuchadnezzar is the perfect example of an Antichrist figure. The image he had everyone bow down to was marked by 666. He, for 7 years, morphed into a Nephilim-like creature.
He became.
So interesting. So this Nephilim, it required no intervention of an angelic being. There's something about iniquity that can transform an individual. So that's how there could be a second incursion without angels actually coming down and doing it again. But this is so central to the gospel that when Jesus is crucified, it says he's crucified on a place that's called the place of the skull, which some say it could be a reference to Adam's skull or to the skull of Goliath, the Nephilim, which is the fulfillment of the prophecy from Genesis chapter 3.
Yeah, it's the place of the skull, and it's Goliath of Gath, and it's called Golgotha. Golgotha.
Yeah.
Wow. Craziness.
Man, that's some strong stuff. You know, when you're looking at the whole picture all around, you know, people always bring up the concept of angels are not supposed to be able to cohabitate. They're not supposed to be able to reproduce. And it brings out the question, can spiritual forces reproduce? Because I get that back a lot when we talk on this. But you got to go to the observation of Mary and the Holy Spirit. A spirit impregnated Mary. And you look at that and you say, okay, so angels aren't supposed to do it, but they did it. In other words, they don't give in marriage, they're not supposed to do these things, but they broke that allegiance to God. So spiritual forces can impregnate, they can do that. But when you're bringing up the point of iniquity can bring it about again, I think that's a profound point of view, because that's why sin is running rampant in the culture. That's what the devil wants to do. Get people to sin on such a wide scale spectrum that they usher in this whole wickedness once again. And that is what I see you saying. Now, I think that's powerful.
Wow. And can iniquity actually affect the genome?
Wow.
Because there's studies on epigenetics now that you can get studies, whether it's Alzheimer's or different diseases, you can actually see what gene you're predisposed. If certain conditions exist,
how about that?
It'll activate what you're predisposed to actually carry. And so, yeah, I think there's both the mating part of it, the breeding part, which is really fascinating, the subject to go down. But there's also the reality of Nimrod says he became a Gabor, a mighty man. So it's both. And then I think the terminology, you know, using words like angels can be confusing.
Yeah, that's right.
I think when you look in the scriptures, it talks about these gods, that the word is Elohim. And it doesn't matter. We know Yahweh's an Elohim, of course, but these other divine beings, some are angels, but I think divine beings might be a better term sometimes to talk about this, because our whole Hollywood, all the movies, everything coming out, it's about these demi gods, right? And so it's built into our psyche. And so I think when we talk about this, the word Elohim, gods, all that can be confusing, angel. And I think one of the tricks the enemy's done is to try to take these gods and reduce them down to demons. Yeah. And we get confused with all that. So I don't know if we want to talk about the terminology part of it, because I think it's a big deal.
No, I like it. Okay, so
not only is there a confusion on the terminology part of this, because as Christians, we're not polytheists. I mean, we believe in one God. Well, yeah, we believe in one God that is the creator of all things, including little g gods.
Yeah. Okay. We worship that God.
That God.
But there are other gods.
Yes.
And that's what throws people off.
And it really throws people off because it's really not even into the psyche of Western civilization or Western Christianity. This is a very non-Christian concept, but a very biblical concept. Okay. And those things are challenging. There's also the challenge, too, that when it comes to the angelic realm, if we can call it that, the celestial beings, that God Almighty has a heavenly family and God Almighty has an earthly family. And there have been fallings among both of them. Right. That in the midst of the dominions and the powers and the authorities that Paul talked about, there's different classes of angels. And we have a problem with that because we think everything is either an angel, everything is either a demon, and all the angels are all the same and all the demons are all the same. And they're not.
They're not. It's like the animal kingdom.
It is like the
animal. It is exactly like that. There's the diversity. When you look at the angels described in the book of Revelation or in Ezekiel, how different they all look.
Yep.
I don't think you could categorize. We could spend all day and not even scratch the surface on how many different kinds of angelic entities or spiritual beings there are out there.
Yeah, so, you know, on the planet Earth, you know, there's somewhere between 35 million and 50 million different species on the planet Earth of insects and all those things. You know, kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, and species, right, are the different categories. Imagine how infinite that is in heaven. So it's like, okay, so you got warring angels, you got messenger angels, you got Zoe, you got living ones, you have, you have watchers, you have sons of God, you have the 24 elders, you've got these creatures with six wings, you got all these things. And even in the book of Daniel, there's an angel that's called Palmanai, and it literally means the wonderful number of secrets. It's a numbering angel that counts everything, measures everything, weighs everything, and then gives glory to God. And so even biblically, there's so many things, you know, the seven spirits before the Lord. So we don't even tend to think about that. We're just now waking up to that. But there's another problem we have with understanding the seed war is that some angel, I should say some celestial beings, have a true physicality about them that is different than just, say, a demonic poof.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
They actually have, as Jesus said, "Feel me and see that I am flesh and blood." And so when things manifest and when it's physical, we tend to let our minds go crazy, not thinking that it's still within the angelic, or in this case, the demonic realm or whatever that is. But it can have true physicality, so much true physicality that they can actually reproduce with us, which means their DNA matches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
So at creation, when God says, "Let us make man in our image," There's a belief that he's not just talking, it's not just the Trinity.
That's right.
He's actually talking to the divine beings he already had made, a divine family, and he's going, "Let us."
Yeah.
Now, obviously, he's the only one that can create.
Yes.
But again, later in Genesis 11, he says, "Let us go down and inspect what they're doing." Who's he talking? Who's the us there?
That's exactly right.
Because if these are other Elohim, that means they're formed in his image as well. So there is a physical part of this that's a big deal. And it is possible that what we see in Genesis 6.
I think that, again, I like what you're saying, Pastor Troy, in regards to we just categorize everything as a demon. Mm-hmm. But demons exist, and they have a specific function to attack people, and usually to go after people's soul, their mind, their will, and their emotions. So we see aliens, we see all these different things on the news, all this paranormal, supernatural stuff. It's demonic. But it's not necessarily a demon. In that, a demon is looking to inhabit. It's a disembodied spirit looking to embody a human being. They are dominantly, their jurisdiction is on the earth.
Come on.
And so all these principalities, all these things, these beings have their own jurisdiction. It's interesting that it was actually Yahweh that divvied up these principalities and powers to nation states. So when you look at various flags throughout the world, they will put their principality on their flag. You look at Wales. It's also interesting when you look at the contrast of how the Europeans view the dragon, which is a principality and power. The dragon's not a demon. Okay, you look at how the Europeans see the dragon versus how the Asians see the dragon. Well, the Europeans would fear. There'd be like this terrible fear of it. Whereas in the Asian culture, there would be this awe and respect, this entreating, this partnership with that principality and power. So every nation has its own corresponding principality and power, where it has legal jurisdiction. We can, just can't just say, oh, that's a demon. No, it's demonic. Yes, and that's why you have authority over it, because it's demonic. It's evil. Okay. Yes. But
that's really good. Well, Troy, I was just wondering, like, I think Deuteronomy 32, and now we're going to touch on that, is after Genesis 11 happened, you read in Deuteronomy 32, he assigned the nations to these gods, these Elohim. And so when you look even historically in Near East culture, baptism was not just what we think of in America. It was actually coming out of that water and surrendering to the loyalty, you're giving your loyalty to Yahweh and denouncing all these other gods. Because there is a hierarchy. The way I look at it, the demons in the earthly realm, we've been given authority over those. Jesus said you can cast out demons, but those are probably the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim. Mm. But the rulers, authorities, these other gods, they're above our, they're outside of the dominion of the earth. They rule in a heavenly realm.
Second heaven.
Yeah, second heaven realm. And those are the ones you got to be really strategic about how you come against those.
And how you interact.
Because they have so much loyalty from humans in the planet.
That's right.
Who have given their worship to these other beings. And that's what happened in Genesis 11. God disinherits the nations and he starts over with Abram.
I had this encounter, man. And in this encounter, I was preparing that week for a message on aliens. To our people, because our people are saying, Darren, all this stuff's hitting the news and what's going on? So I'm preparing for kind of a silly message on aliens. We're gonna have fun. I'm gonna come out with a Nerf gun and shoot up these aliens on the stage and have some fun with it. So I'm prepared.
As you do, as all pastors do.
You know, I'm thinking aliens, UFOs, there's nothing to this. This is all just, you know, government propaganda. And so I'm preparing for my message, and I had this encounter, this dream at night. And I'm in this house, I'm sleeping on the bed, and something startles me. I look over and I see the Chinese dragon, and it looks like a baby dragon. But it's not Disney's How to Train Your Dragon. It's clearly the principality, the Chinese dragon. Mm. And it goes running like a rat along the rafters. And I think that's interesting. I look over and there is a star chart of all these galaxies on this wall next to my bed. And then I look down at my feet, and there are two grays, you know, like the aliens.
Yeah.
And they are approaching the foot of my bed. And just to rebuke them took work. There was actually almost a striving, and even to speak to them. And then once I rebuked them, I came up and out of the encounter. Now, we've all rebuked demons. We kind of do it for a living.
Ghostbusters.
There's nothing. No. Yeah, there's nothing to casting out a demon. There's nothing to. You see something demonic, you rebuke it. The Lord was teaching me in this dream that what we're seeing actually unleashed on the earth right now, they are not demons. They are principalities and powers, and they are engaging humanity with an intensity where if the body of Christ, if you don't know who you are in Christ, if you don't know your authority, you will not have the knowledge or the courage to rebuke what's trying to be released on the earth right now.
You know, Darren, my wife had that exact same counter. She woke up in the middle of the night, a voice called her from outside the house. It spoke to her in her mind, woke her up in the middle of the night, walked out, and on the front deck was a gray. And she said it was paralyzing fear. Like she couldn't barely grapple with it. So what you're talking about is exactly that. But when she took authority over it, it left. But that is just to follow up on what you're saying. Wow. It is the truth. They have a gripping fear about them.
What does the Word of God say about these territories and these?
Well, here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm call me the old fuddy-duddy, and you guys can throw spitballs at me when I say this. I'm the only guy on the panel that's finally. Like, demons are fallen angels. And that's the position that I was always raised with. But there's so many varied and different kinds.
That's right.
But the point that you just made is so key. It doesn't matter what exactly you think they are, so long as you know you have authority over them in the name of Jesus. Yeah. And here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood,
come on, Al,
but against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Five times in one verse it says against. Mm-hmm. Now in the Greek, that word is used in John chapter 1, where it says, and the word was with God. So it is a word of proximity. The same way the word is close to God, we are, every single one of us, close to principalities and powers and mights and dominions. And we are in this great struggle, this great battle, that we're so interconnected. There's no escaping this battle. And that's what Christians have to get a hold of. They're praying for victory from the battle when they need victory in the battle.
That's so good.
And this is not spiritual warfare like the old, you know, put them put up your dukes. This is like MMA. This is martial arts. Yeah. And my kids are involved in this. When they get on the floor, they are grappling and rolling. They are against in ways that would be uncomfortable for most people. And that's what's happening right now with spiritual warfare. And we're seeing an uptick of it because the Bible said in the last days, Satan will come down in great wrath because he knows his time is short.
Well, guys, we're going to jump in right here. Going to screech. Can y'all hear the brakes screeching at this moment?
Yeah, it's that moment.
Okay, look, we're talking angels. We're talking Nephilim. We're talking demons. And we're also going to continue to talk about encounters that we've had and what that's all about.
And there's some things we can't talk about online because of censorship, but we're going to go deep into this. So I want to encourage everybody to go to odx.tv to get the uncensored, unfiltered, unedited version of this, because honestly, it's wild and it's making me a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, let's go behind the veil, guys. Let's go and get after it.
What do you have to say? Anything?
Nope.
Okay. That's perfect. Well, guys, listen, we do have a whole lot more of this conversation, including testimonies. Some pretty far out ones. And what was the name of that drug we ended up talking about?
Ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca?
That's right.
Yeah, we're going to be experimenting with that in the second.
No, we're not.
Cheers, it's old earth crack cocaine.
Yeah. To the king. You don't want to miss this. You can only find it at odx.tv. And when you go to listen to the rest of this conversation, you're actually going to be helping us rescue boys and girls out of the horrors of sexual trafficking.
Come on.
All over the planet Earth. Guys, this is our 30th year of rescuing kids, and you can actually be a part of it. Go to odx.tv and join us for the rest of the conversation.
I think it seems to become legalistic, and now we've got to hunt down all these different connections. And yet, we see people get born again, and there's still demonic activity. So how does all of this jive?
She said this. It's the new moon, and my lover will be here tonight, and he'll know that you came. She literally called the devil her lover.
Once they engaged with that, they came out as different people. We've been talking about compromised DNA. Well, whether it's a compromised bloodline or your soul has been hacked, your mind, your will, and your emotions, it gets into your operating system.
It is a hack.